From the Midas and Roseburg studio, KQEN weather. Partly sunny today, high of 69. Slight chance of rain tonight, cloudy down to 52. On Tuesday, slight chance of rain, then turning to showers, cloudy in 77. Wednesday, partly sunny, 78. Back to clouds Thursday in 76. And then more showers coming up for the upcoming weekend. 59 degrees now, and KQEN news time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce, thanks for coming in.
Hey, it's nice to actually be in the studio this time, Kyle.
First time in a while. Go ahead, get real close to that. Let's talk about the overall county response to COVID-19. I mean, we are weeks in, but what kinds of things are going on these days?
Well, we're doing really well overall. You know, I don't know if you remember, but when this whole thing first started, the CDC did a report that showed that Douglas County was likely to be one of the, I think, the fourth hardest hit place in the nation based upon a whole bunch of things. You know, hospital capacity, demographics, age, all of those things included. And obviously we've come out well better than that. So throughout the whole thing, the county's been positioned fairly well. We've obviously been the first, among the first of the counties to apply for phase one reopening and be granted. And also among the first to apply for the phase two and be granted that as well. And all that has to do with the coordinated effort that's going on under the leadership of the county as the public health authority alongside Douglas Public Health Network and obviously Mercy Medical Center, the VA, and all the other local medical providers cooperating together in order to manage the response. And it's been it's been frustrating for a lot of folks, but it's also been a very good team that's working on this, and we've seen great results.
If you could back up 3.5 months or whatever and just think about what would be different right now if none of this had happened. I mean, it's just totally tipped the year on the side.
It has. You know, people are, you see it in these memes on social media and everywhere that, you know, 2020 is becoming the year that everyone wants to just forget and start over. And I agree, it's been something that none of us, I think, ever really expected or saw coming. But, you know, you look back at the beginning of this and ask yourself, you know, what would you change? I don't want to say that we've done everything perfectly, but we certainly have had some pretty good results. And there's a few things that we'd probably do differently. But for the most part, I think we're in pretty good shape here.
So phase two began Friday. What kinds of things should residents, business owners, folks be aware of?
So the main thing I think that's the most critical for people to be aware of is that there is still a virus and that it's still out there. And, you know, people have been cooped up for a long time. They've not been able to go do their normal things. They're excited about getting out and all that's good. But the main thing is we don't want to go backwards. So when you talk about, you know, these restrictions loosening up, pay attention to the rules, keep the social distancing the way that it's supposed to be, follow the recommendations, and there's a bunch of them. But the main thing is, you know, the gathering sizes have increased both indoor and outdoor. They want the activities to take place more outdoor if possible. There's some distancing guidelines for activities that do take place indoor. The hand washing and sanitizing guidelines are all still in place. And I think the more diligent people are about that, the better success we're going to continue to see in moving forward.
You know, one of the things at the front end of this, somebody that I was talking to talked about where they worked. You've got the dispensers that have the hand sanitization or the soap, whatever you want to call it. And one day somebody said, oh, we ran out. And they'd never ran out before, or at least they weren't aware of running out. And it makes you wonder how many things in other times we would have done better at, even just the typical flu, if people had been more diligent about some of these things that are now getting drilled into us.
Sure. You know, I was eating at a restaurant Saturday night with my family, and first thing I did when I went in and got sat down was go use the restroom to wash my hands, and they were out of hand soap and they were out of towels in the bathroom. And so I, you know, let the folks there know, hey, this is a problem. And they didn't take care of it. My son went back in later to do the same, wash his hands, and still. And so I had explained to him, said, hey, look, you know, this is important. You got to make sure that this stuff's out here. And they understood and they took care of it. But yeah, it's just, you know, you think there's obviously a heightened awareness among people to sanitize their hands and wash their hands and do all those things. And you do have to wonder what it might have been like had we had these heightened precautions earlier on.
Yeah, at the very beginning of this, you set up kind of, and I don't remember there was a name for it, I think, but some kind of response center where a lot of you folks from the county and all these other agencies were gathering together. But that fairly early on kind of phased back to being more virtual, didn't it?
Well, yeah, we had the response team, and we started to meet together in the courthouse building, and then we had, we had to move because of some social distancing requirements into a bigger facility, and then we ended up moving again into an even larger facility in order to meet the social distancing requirements for when we had to meet in person. But a lot of that work began to transition to being done virtually for that exact same reason. And you know, it's interesting, as a county commissioner, before all this happened, we would spend 2, 3, 4 nights a week, sometimes more, going to various different events. And obviously we run from meeting to meeting to meeting all the time. And now I spend much more time in my office doing Zoom meetings, which is nice. It cuts down on the travel and all those evening events. We haven't had to spend as much time doing either for the same reason, but those have all turned digital. I mean, a great example was Saturday night. They had the Lamb Show, and I haven't heard how they did. I hope they did well for the kids' sake, but or maybe that's this coming weekend. I'm not sure, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that was actually last Saturday.
So, okay, yeah. Right. That's what I thought.
Looking at this as you've gone forward, is anyone kind of taking notes along the way for maybe ideas that would help you, whether it's Cascadia subduction earthquake or another one of these big snowstorms or things like that that'll help us with the next emergency?
Absolutely. And, you know, we actually had done that prior to this, and those things that we had done had helped us for this emergency. And it seems like every time, and I hate to say this, but, you know, we were plagued by wildfires a lot during the summer, and then we had a Snowmageddon event, we had a UCC event, and we've had this... we'd had bad winter storms other than the Snowmageddon, and now we've had this, and each one of those emergencies helps us prepare for the next one. And we've made some changes, including, you know, the remodeled emergency operations center in the courthouse now has a dedicated internet line, and there's just a whole bunch of stuff that we do and take notes on that we improve each time in preparation for the next one.
So the county early on, you and Commissioner Freeman in particular, both talked about not seeing a lot of money, or not seeing any money maybe coming from the state. There was federal funds that went to states, but it seemed like initially it had gone to the three bigger counties and to state government. Is there any change there?
We've heard this week and there's an association of Oregon counties, and we've got mixed feelings about them. But unfortunately, the state has really picked the Association of Oregon Counties to do the negotiating with about this money. And we followed that conversation, and it sounds like they have a plan moving forward. I'm not sure that it was that the state's plan is exactly what the feds intended, but bottom line is they have a plan for dispersing some money back to the counties, which is good. You know, our hope is, of course, that we can try to recuperate as much or close to what we've spent. The county continues to be in a budget problem and spending from reserves. We prioritize these emergencies, obviously, and have contingencies set aside specifically for them, but trying to recuperate our money is a very high priority.
For people that are organized, maybe with their home or business budgeting, I mean, a situation like this is like, especially when you're talking about health and safety and all of that, it's like, you got to do it and sometimes literally figure out how to pay for it later.
We've done that, you know, and again, we have contingencies set aside for this sort of thing. So the bottom line is when you're in the middle of the response and, you know, Douglas Public Health Network needs something or Mercy Medical Center or whoever, the answer is yes, we're gonna take care of it. We're going to provide whatever's necessary for the response first, and then we're going to go back and sort it out later. But knowing all along that we have a plan for that.
One of the things you've worked on is with the business community. How do you feel like business is doing, and how is the county offering some resources to help or point folks in the right direction.
You know, that's really our job, is to point people in the right direction to get help. And, you know, it's been a crazy time. How businesses are doing really depends upon what kind of business you're in and how this has affected you. I mean, I know businesses in town that are literally having record sales months. And it's because people are at home, they haven't been at work, the government's been paying them through unemployment insurance or whatever, so they've got time on their hands and money to spend. And then I know other businesses that literally have, you know, were on the verge of going broke. They felt like they were in a state of, a dire state where they had to make a decision to move forward. If they couldn't, they were going to close indefinitely. And then I know some businesses that have closed. You know, they're just not going to survive this. And it's been a wild ride for business people, for sure.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Commissioner Chris Boyce, interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Tomorrow's program, we've never done this before. We're going to be coming to you from the nation of Kosovo. Talk to Colonel Eric Riley, commander for the Oregon National Guard. He's part of a group over there from Oregon working in Kosovo with NATO. We'll give you an update on that on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Chris Boyce in with us right now as we talk about helping businesses out. There were a lot of resources. It seemed like we kind of went in waves from the federal government. Some of these things came out so quickly. You know, when you're used to normally seeing legislation take forever to get through a committee or a subcommittee, then a committee, then one house, one chamber, then the other chamber, and then get reconciled and all of that. And there were things that Congress did in just record time, but sometimes it, a lot of people say they didn't all come together very well or maybe very effective for what they were supposed to be doing, and they came at a very high price tag.
You know, that's the concern anytime the federal government gets involved in anything, is the price tag. But before I get into that, I just want to give a shout out real quick. You mentioned Colonel Eric Riley. His daughter graduated from high school at Geneva Academy this weekend, and he was able to appear virtually because he was overseas doing what we appreciate that he all does. So shout out to him, and that was very exciting. But going back to your question, you know, the federal government gets involved in anything and it gets real expensive. And you're right, they were actually able to expedite some things at a time when it was the most important for the country. But I'm not entirely sure that it was as well thought out as it should have been, which sometimes is oftentimes is the case with the federal government. But for example, you know, the payroll protection program was designed to essentially give money to businesses to keep their employees on staff, but at the same time, the businesses were supposed to be closed, so the employers didn't really have anything for the employees to do. So really, it was just sort of funneling money through the businesses to the employees to pay their staff. And, you know, I own a couple businesses. We had more staff on hand by far than we needed for the amount of business volume that we had coming in. But at the end of the day, you know, the employees were able to be helped, and that's good. And the businesses were able to be helped in certain situations. But, you know, now we're talking about a bunch of businesses that signed up for that program, not knowing exactly what the rules were going to end up being, and we still don't know exactly. But so now we're working through that.
What about county parks? We're starting to see, we talked to folks in the Umpqua National Forest this morning, got information from the city of Roseburg over the weekend. Under phase two, does anything change for the county's parks?
Not really, because we've been sort of ahead of the game with the parks in the first place. You know, we've been working with the Forest Service and the BLM specifically, trying to get them to sort of keep up with where we were with our parks. And they've been very good to work with, and we've had some great communications and cooperation with them to get them you know, caught up to us. But county parks are open. The only real concern that we have at this point is we're trying to make sure we have enough staffing on hand to keep things clean and sanitized as often as we'd like to. Things like children's play equipment are a little bit iffy still, so we're sort of putting the brakes on that just a little bit. But for the most part, we're open for business.
What about day-to-day at the courthouse? There was a period of time there where you really had the facility closed down. A lot of government agencies have done the same thing and are coming back at different phases. When you reopened, a whole lot of things changed in terms of what was expected, and I guess maybe even moving some people around just space-wise. How has that been going?
It's been going great so far. You know, when we first reopened the courthouse, we had folks from Douglas Public Health Network there on site, screening people that were coming in, taking temperatures, providing face masks, hand sanitization, all that was going on. We've backed away from that now. You know, I think we touched on this a little bit earlier, Kyle, but there's a new awareness around now about this sort of thing, and people have it in the back of their mind that they need to distance themselves and they need to keep their hands clean. So we see a lot of people doing that on their own. The traffic count of people coming into the courthouse is far less. I think people have gotten to where they sort of like doing things online and more over the phone and the best they can. So we're not seeing a lot of traffic in the courthouse, but all of our employees are back to work. Some of them are still reassigned, doing other work like helping seniors. You know, one place that's been affected by this significantly within county government has been the fairgrounds. And we've got a great group of people out there that run a great program normally, but because of the fact that all of these gatherings couldn't happen and events and things, that's what they're in the business of doing. So they've been reassigned some, and they've been great to deal with, but that's one place that we're still not back to normal.
You know, when you talk about more things happening virtually, I have noticed that in some of my phone interview segments from our legislators that are spread around the area, that oftentimes, whereas before, if, say, they were coming in here for an interview and were X amount of miles away, they've got to sort of plan for that. And I've actually done a number of phone calls with folks where literally when I called in, they were also on a different device wrapping up a meeting and, you know, dropped off of one and dropped right into the next. So in some ways, it's made a lot of people a little bit more efficient.
It has, and that's our life these days. You know, that I've been on more than one Zoom meeting at a time. Yeah, which is nice because you can do that and actually be effective. But it's definitely made the amount of miles I've had to put on my vehicles less, and which is a good thing. And we've been able to get things done a little bit different way. It's been sort of exciting to be able to adapt to that. You know, I guess everything comes with its problems. I've heard stories about those meetings getting hacked and other things like that. But for the most part, you know, we've learned a new way to do business, and I think some of that's just going to stick.
So we have this concern from a lot of the fire officials about a particularly intense fire season. The forecast is calling for hotter temperatures, less precipitation. How might that impact things in the midst of all this other things going on?
Yeah, you know, there's meetings going on already to talk about that, and that's why I'm extremely grateful for this rain that we've had, and I just hope it keeps coming. You know, nobody likes a rainy summer, but I'd sure take one this year. We're concerned about that. You know, fire camps are a normal thing for us during the summer months, and we've got people from all over the country that congregate in our county in these fire camps and work diligently to control these forest fires, and there's going to be a new concern in fire camp this year, and we're already talking about how we're going to help manage that.
And generally, when the county is very involved with the other agencies, of course, sometimes it's county land or by county land, and fires go all over the place. So usually they're on you know, they may be on federal, county, and private land all at the same time.
That's true, and you know, we've provided, not only do we have fires on county owned property, but we also sometimes provide county owned property for fire camps. So we're talking about it, and we're praying, keeping our fingers crossed. We're asking people to be extremely diligent this year about preventing fires. I mean, you can't be out mowing your grass when it's dry. You can't be out throwing cigarettes out the window. You know, even driving down the road, you know, someone driving down the road has a flat tire, and they try to limp the vehicle along just a little further to get to a safe place to pull off, that wheel touching the ground can spark and cause a fire in extreme fire conditions. So you just got to be very diligent. We're asking people to be very diligent this year about trying not to start fires.
About 30 seconds left. Where are we at on the county budget process getting ready for the next fiscal year?
So we've had our budget hearings. We had the budget committee meet, had the budget hearings. The budgets have all been tentatively approved, and we will formalize the formal adoption of that budget at the commissioners' meeting. Actually, I think we formalized the adoption of the budget at the end of the budget meeting, so pretty much all of that work is all done.
All right, so a lot going on, a busy time, and Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce, thanks for coming over.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.